Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. We're talking about the tools of Satan. And Satan has been operating now for a number of thousands of years. Very skillful. He's very subtle, and he's also very successful. 2 Timothy 4:10, the Word of God says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Of course, Evangelist Paul mentioned this verse. But here is this faithful companion of the Apostle Paul. What powerful influence could cause a man who had dedicated his life to serving God, what powerful influence would cause him to forsake that noble purpose in life? What would cause him to leave a life of blessing, a life of reward in heaven, to succumb to living for the world? The Bible identifies that powerful influence of Satan. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know, most people don't understand what the Bible means when it says the world. Now, there are more than one word in the word. There's more than one word behind the word world in the Bible. For God so loved the world. That's the word oikoumene. That speaks of the people of the world. For God so loved the world. That's the oikoumene, the people of the world. The Bible tells us, it says, "Be not conformed to this world." It's the word age, ionios. Refers to the sum total of the thinking and the isms that exist in this world at any particular time. And when we think of that, we think of that book, Seven Men That Rule the World from the Grave. And it's talking about the philosophies of Kierkegaard and Darwin and Marx and other wicked men whose teachings have permeated the thinking of this world. And so that people, they have this thinking. They don't even know why they think what they think. But it's because of the thinking, the sum total of the philosophies and the isms of the age in which we live. But then there's a third word for world. And that's the word cosmos. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." This word world is the word cosmos. The word cosmos identifies the world system. The world system is a highly organized system of rebellion against God, whose author and ruler is Satan. A highly organized system of rebellion against God, whose author and ruler is Satan. I've written down as the world is a highly organized system of rebellion, intricately woven into the culture of the nations, for the purpose to influence away the people from God and to capture the souls in its realm to keep them from going to God. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The God of this world. Who is that God of this world? It's Satan. We read the text today, Ephesians chapter 2. It says this. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation. Universal. And universal influence. Among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Now the Bible tells us, 1 John chapter 5, maybe you want to turn there. 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 19. And it says, and we know that we are of God. Of course, the word of speaks of genetics, speaks of birth. Now are we the children of God? It says, but, and, contrast, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Speaking of the wicked one. Ye are of God, but the whole world lives and is in the realm of the wicked one. In the realm of, that's the meaning of the preposition in and in the Greek language. In the realm of. The whole world lieth in the realm of the wicked one. I wonder, do we really believe? Do we really think? Do we really act like the world system is a system of a highly organized system of rebellion, authored and organized by Satan himself, that is intricately woven into every culture of the world, to keep the souls of men away from God. Do we believe that? To take those who belong to God, to cause them to leave the God who saved them, the world. It's not a little accident. You know, I know me. I know how it is. You know, if you can't see the world system, if you can't see the devil with a red pajama suit, and you can't see him with his red tail and his pitchfork, it doesn't exist. That's how we live. That's how we think, sadly to say, because we don't think biblically too often. Highly organized system of rebellion against God. Well, let's ask ourselves, well, how did Satan become the leader, the God of this world system? How did that take place? If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 17, 27 and 28. Now, preface this with Satan's rebellion against God in heaven. And preface this, and perhaps we should go there, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, where Satan said, I will become God. I will become like the Most High. But notice Genesis 1. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God created the world. And he put man over its dominion. But Satan wanted to have dominion over this earth. But man was put in dominion over this earth. And so, what happens? The Bible says, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. You know, Satan knew that in order to become the ruler of this world, he had to go through Adam and Eve. He had to cause them to give up their role under God and forsake it. And so, he successfully caused them to sin. And now, Satan is the god of this world. And you read in the Psalms, it will tell us that this dominion over the earth failed by man would have had to be taken up by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so through the Lord Jesus Christ, once again, God will be the God of this world. But he had to die on Calvary's cross to pay man's sin. But until Satan is thrown into the pit of hell, and we have the new heavens and the new earth, and of course temporarily in the millennium, Satan is the god of this world. And the word for world is the word cosmos. We get a word that the world likes, cosmetics, from it. I don't use cosmetics. But cosmetics is a highly organized system of covering you up. I don't know much about it, but I look from my observation. You know, you got this bottle for this. You got to do this first. And then you got to do this bottle second. And then you got to do this thing third. And then you do this thing fourth. Right? I guess that's what it is. It's, you know, got this cleanser, and then they got this, and then they got the base, and then they got this, and all this stuff. Cosmetics, highly organized. Satan's no fool. Highly organized system of rebellion. Now notice the Bible tells us the design of this system. Turn to two places in the Bible. Turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis, and turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, it tells us that Satan has three main tools in this world system. And this world system is based on these three realms of influence that dominate it. It says, all that is in the world is based on these three things. This world system, highly organized system of rebellion against God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now keep your finger there and turn to Genesis 3. Verse 6. Verse 5 and 6. Satan says, for God does know the day ye eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. Notice, she saw the fruit tree was good for food. The lust of the flesh. Does your body want food? Yes. The natural desires that man was created with, Satan's system is to take the natural desires of the body, whether they be food, whether they be sexual, whatever they are, takes the natural desires and aims at them through this world system to cause people to rebel against God. Good for food. Pleasant to the eyes. All is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes. She saw it was good for food. The aesthetic beauty of sinful things. The aesthetic beauty of sinful things. That's what this world system is based on. The aesthetic beauty of this world. You know, that's very a part of our flesh. Is, you know, they say the most beautiful restrooms in America, the cleanest restrooms in America, Las Vegas. You know, you go to some gas station, you have to use a restroom, and they're filthy, and you know, you just want to get out of there as soon as you can. Las Vegas, cleanest restrooms in America. They want to make a sinful experience very beautiful. And you know, most people don't desire, you know, put it this way. When I was growing up, they had cigarette advertisements on TV. And there was a brand of cigarettes called Salem. And it was a brand of cigarettes for women. And when they advertised Salem cigarettes, they had this, you know, very beautiful lady in a mountainous setting with a beautiful stream going by. And the advertisement said, take a breath, take a puff, and it's springtime. You know, why didn't they take a picture? You know, why didn't they have a woman, you know, whose face is all wrinkled and who's got a hacking cough and looks older than her age, you know, and smells like a fire pit. You know, and, you know, hooked up to cancer machines. Why don't they take a picture of that? Why don't they tell the truth? Because Satan's system makes sin look inviting. It's beautiful. The world's system is a highly organized system of rebellion against God. authored, empowered by Satan himself. And notice it says, and tree to be desired to make one wise. And the pride of life. 1 John 2:15, the pride of life. Now, of course, in Matthew 4, the four temptations on Jesus were the temptations of the world. The lust of the flesh. Take the stone and make it bread. Put your natural needs, your natural desires, give yourself to that, and put God in the second burner. Lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. He showed them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He says, I'll give them to you. It's very beautiful. I'll give them to you. Lust of the eyes. You know, people will give themselves their whole life. Maybe it's a beautiful truck. Maybe it's a beautiful car. Maybe it's a beautiful home. Maybe it's a beautiful place, wherever. You know, I can't believe it, but they say for some of these awards nights in Hollywood, people will spend $200,000 for their wardrobe for one night. Because the greatest thing they can imagine is that stunning beauty for one night. The lust of the eyes. They said to Jesus, don't you want the approval of man? Don't you want the acclaim of men? Jump down from the temple. The angels will catch you. And people will say, ah. People live for the approval of men. People live for the approval of lost people. People live for fame. God created us to be approved in His sight. But that natural part of our being, Satan has created a system that draws us to want the approval of his system. And to be great in his system. And notice all of Satan's temptations were now. Now. Live for now. Not for eternity. Now. You can have this food now. You can have this glory now. You can have this approval now. Not by faith in the next life. Not by faith years down the road. But now. Take a little child. You know, it's a hot summer day. You want to go to Culver's for ice cream now? Or in 2 weeks? You know, it's all about now. You know, character is when a person learns that you fulfill your obligations and your duties first. And then you get your rewards later. But Satan's temptation is to throw aside your duties, throw aside your obligations, so you can enjoy things now. Right? Shortcut. You know, instead of cleaning your room, throw it under the bed. Because, you know, Dad says, you know, if we clean up your room, such and such. Well, after a while, it's forget to clean the room. I just want to do it anyhow. The dominion of Satan. He's the god of this world. He's the power of it. He's the inspiration of it. He's the author of it. And he is the subtle enforcer of it in every culture of this world. Every culture of this world. I have another sermon on how Christianity is talking about becoming culturally sensitive. They don't understand that Satan is the god of this world. He has a design. Put a hold on people. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not. Blinded the minds of them that believe not. His whole purpose is to get people so focused on the illegitimate reaching of natural desires. I want this job. I want this money. I want this. You know, they say that in Kenya, that, you know, it's all about, you'd think of a poor country. You'd think they'd have more time for God, but that's not how it works. In a poor country, everybody is focused on money. That's the god. And so, one of the things you get where you get money is by going to school. So, most of the people in Kenya send their children to boarding school. Very wicked places, a lot of immorality. I'm talking about Christian people. 99% of Christian people send their kids to a boarding school. I suppose they have chapel on Sunday morning, but there's boys and there's girls, and it's a very immoral place. Almost no children of fundamental Baptist go to church when they go to boarding school. Almost none. They go to that compromising chapel on base. Well, I mean, wherever it is. But do they go to a local church? Nope. Why? Because you're there for an education. You aren't there to go to church. And when you go to college, you go to college. And I heard a number of pastors whose children go to a local college in Theka. But do they go to church? No. They don't go to church. You know why? Because they're in college. And the most important thing, when they get home, you know, on the weekends, they'll go to church. But when they're in college, no. College is about getting education so you can make money. Well, in the world, you know, money makes the world go round. You got to have money. But the illegitimate pursuit of legitimate needs is the whole focus of this world system. There's many applications. Many, many applications. And so, but notice the sober device effect of the world system. And I suppose we could take a whole sermon on every one of these, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life. Maybe we need to do that. We don't have time to do that now. And probably it would be a legitimate thing because a lot of people just don't understand it. You see, it's the disguised. A legitimate drive. Whether it's for food, whether it's for accomplishment, whether it's aesthetic beauty. God is beautiful, isn't he? Heaven is beautiful. But it's an illegitimate pursuit. For now, not in heaven. We need to see something that's very, very subtle about this that most people don't consider. They don't put two and two together. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we'll stop there. You get it? The world system is so powerful, and within its very being, because it is inspired and created by Satan, it has within it this very powerful spiritual force. And that force has the ability and it does it. It takes away a person's love for God. It's not something you can touch and no consequences. Now, most people don't believe that. Most young people don't believe that. Most parents don't believe that. They've been brainwashed by our liberal, godless society that has that same thinking that says, don't censor any books. And the public library is full of pornography. Not full, but there's plenty. A lot more than needs to be. Should be zero. Public schools full of garbage. Libraries. Why? Because they don't believe that sin defiles. They do not believe that sin defiles. But this world system is so defiling that anyone who allows himself to come within its grasp or come under its power. Come under its power. Oh, it's masked in legitimate needs. I got to have this money. I got to have this education. I got to have this. It's all about now. Not put God first. Not by faith put God first. No. Now. My way. Defiles. Let's think about, well, what is the love of God? People have that all mixed up. Because most people think the love of God is some Hollywood emotion. Goobly gob from Hollywood. Now, there should be some emotion in it. But what is the love of God? Well, 1 John tells us what, 3 John tells us what the love of God is. First, 2 John, verse 6, and this is love. Sounds like a definition. Right? That we walk after His commandments. Huh. That's pretty simple, isn't it? What is the love of God? That we walk after His commandments. Well, let's define that a little bit. Let's make it a little bit simpler. What does that mean? I want to keep His commandments. I desire to keep His commandments. I delight in His commandments. My joy is in His commandments. That's the love of God. What does the Bible say? First John 5:3. For this is the love of God. Oh, sounds like a definition, doesn't it? This is the love of God. That we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not, what? Grievous. Oh, really? His commandments are not grievous. Is that what you think about the commandments of God? Oh, I gotta do this. And I gotta do that. And I can't do this. And I can't do that. And I'm supposed to do this. And I'm supposed to do this. I'm just tired of all of this. Huh? Sounds to me like your love for God has been robbed. And it sounds to me like it's probably been robbed by the world. Satan's highly organized system of rebellion against God. And we live in that world. We live in that world. The whole world lieth in the wicked one. But greater is he that lieth that is in you than in he that is in the world. The love of God. The love of God. This is the love of God, that we love God and we keep his commandments. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. You know, think of the first half of the Ten Commandments. That's what it's talking about. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know, Dr. Wayne Van Gelderen Sr., he told me he loved sailing. He was raised on the ocean. And one time in church he was preaching. He was, preaching. And he started thinking about sailing. And he said, you know what? I realized right then that sailing had the wrong place in my heart. And I think about that myself. You know, I'll be in church and my thoughts will drift off to this or they'll drift off to that. What about you in the pew? You came to church to worship God, but what are you thinking about? Thinking about that, you think about that, thinking about this back home, you're thinking about what you're going to do. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Legitimate needs of life put first. Before God. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. The world defiles our mind. Defiles our will, and it defiles our emotions. Is your will weak in obeying God? Is your will strong in holding on to something that God wants, doesn't want you to have? Your will has been defiled. What about our mind? In our mind, our thoughts, our thinking. Serving God, that's not that important. You know, there's not really nothing wrong with that. Have a little drink once in a while. The mind. The mind. The world defiles the mind. Makes it think incorrectly. Captures its thoughts. Emotions. Well, if the Packers lose today, they say in Wisconsin, it'd be a sad place in a lot of workplaces. In fact, we had a dear pastor that church isn't far from Green Bay and says, you know, when the Packers lose, it's kind of a downer at church that night. Now, if you're not in the Packers, you know, you can't comprehend that. You might laugh. But it's real. Emotions. I mean, what do you love? What do you love? David said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Where is he from? Outer space? I mean, isn't that what the average Christian would think today? That guy's from outer space. No. He's the type of a godly person. See, the world defiles our mind. Young person, if your mind has been defiled, the problem is you don't know it. If your will has been bent by the world, you don't know it. If your heart has been robbed by the world, you don't really know it. Because you know what? That's who you are. Your intellect, emotion, will, that's who you are. You say, well, that's who I am. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Deemeth has forsaken me, having loved this present world. How is your ability to surrender to God? I'd say that there are those that are here today that is very far from reality, their ability to surrender to God. The world has taken away their ability to surrender to God. There are many who are laughing at old-fashioned godliness. And it's not a thing to be desired anymore among many of God's people. Wholesome look among young ladies is not the desired thing. Why? Because the world is all about the lust of the eyes. The aesthetic beauty, a whole different definition. For many, why would I want to serve God with my life? Why would I want to do that? I want to kind of do it a little bit, but not really. The world takes away our love for God. What should we do? What should we do? I think the lesson of the Bible is God first. God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The lesson of the Bible is, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Today is the only chance that you have to live for God. Satan wants to take your now and have you pursue your life. But God's message is now. Now, not later. Not later. Now. You know, people live in the realm of good intentions. Well, you know what? I'm going to serve God with my life. Well, what about right now? What about obeying Him now? What about putting Him first now? What about doing everything you can to serve God now? No, I got other things I got to do first. Now. God wants our now. God wants our now. You know, there's no better place to think of that than the first thing you get up in the morning, right? Right? God wants our now. He wants us in His Word first thing in the morning. Because guess what? If you've ever been in that battle, you know as well as I do that if you don't put that first, guess what? There's never time the rest of the day. Very seldom. Satan wants our now. God wants our now. Return to our first love. Kind of building on Paul's sermon here. There's the answer, amen. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all thy soul, all thy might. The world is trying to draw you away from Christ. Pretty successful because we live in this world. It's everywhere around us. I don't know how many times in my history as a pastor, a man, unemployed, gets saved, start coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, then they get employed. First thing that goes, Wednesday night. Second thing that goes, Sunday night. Third thing that goes, Sunday school. Fourth thing that goes, Sunday morning. I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, I'm just talking from a church perspective. One at a time. A job? Is it worth it? Oh, you got to have money. Hey, no job's worth that. Every job, we realize, because of the necessity of life, it puts us in the realm of the world. And I can go on. But that was one of the purposes of Robert's Nursery. For young men who wanted to work hard, could work for a little bit less, but could always be in a Christian atmosphere, and the work of God would always be first. You see, we plan to stay close to God. We plan because the devil's planning to try to get us away from God. Do we see the world system as a highly organized system of rebellion against God, created and authored by Satan, who uses it to influence souls away from God and to keep them from God and from getting saved? There's so much more to say on this very important subject. And so the Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's pray. Lord, oh Lord, we need wisdom. Lord, we need wisdom. We need discernment. And Lord, we know that your word tells us that discernment and wisdom comes from your word. From letting the Word of God permeate our minds and our souls and obeying it and living by it. And Lord, we spend so much time in the world and yet we don't think about how the world has an influence, a subtle influence on our soul. Lord, we don't think of it as a system created by the devil. We don't think of it as that Satan is a subtle foe that has a purpose in what he did. And Lord, we thank you that he that is in us, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is far greater than he that is in the world. If we'll put him first. If we'll trust him. If we will allow him to empower us. We'll abide in him and let his Spirit lead us in the path of righteousness. O Lord, it is true. If we cannot say like the psalmist David, who said, "Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation of all the day," we'll know that something is missing from our heart that ought to be there. And Lord, if there's a soul here that is without Jesus, and they said, "Oh, I wouldn't want to become a Christian because I wouldn't want to give up such and such and such and such." Well, getting saved isn't giving up, but Lord, their heart is in love with things, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, intended to capture their soul, to make them more important than you. Oh, Lord, work in our hearts. Our heads bowed, eyes closed. You're here today, and the Spirit of God has been able to minister to your soul.